Our second scripture this morning takes us back to the Epistle to the Hebrews, a book that is towards the back of our Bible, and I happen to think we don't spend nearly enough time in. It's a book that is very rich in its theology. It's a book that's very rich in how it talks about Jesus. It talks about Jesus in very different ways than many of the other books in the New Testament, namely comparing him to a priest. And so it kind of gives you this idea that maybe this was being written to a congregation that understood that language, that understood the priestly language, that understood the priestly role. And so today we're going to be looking at chapter 13 of Hebrews, which is towards the end of the book. So this is kind of like the sending by the author to the congregation. And so we'll be looking at Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 8, and then 15 and 16. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, God of wisdom, we pray, open us to the work of your Spirit, that my words and the meditations of all hearts are pleasing to you, so that we may hear and we may faithfully respond to your holy word. We ask this in your name. Amen. So I want to start with the question this morning. And you don't need to shout answers out or anything like that. Just kind of think about it internally. What does hospitality look like to you? Take a moment and think about that question. Now, I ask this question because in the first century Mediterranean world, hospitality was crucial. You see, in the first century Mediterranean world, the roads tended to be full of travelers trying to get from here to there. And some of those travelers were even some of the earliest Christian missionaries, out to spread the word of God, to share the gospel with those who may not have heard it. And if you were a traveler in the first century Mediterranean world, you didn't have Holiday Inns or Motel 6s or Airbnbs. You didn't have quick stops or shelf stations or rest stops. You didn't have Siri or Yelp to assist you if you needed it. If you were a traveler in the first century Mediterranean world, you were almost completely dependent on the hospitality of others. Like, if you were looking for a place to stay, most likely that would have meant that you were staying in somebody's home. Now, if you were one of these early missionaries on the road, you were looking for these early church communities that would welcome you and whose hospitality you were dependent on to share and spread the gospel. Now, the book of Hebrews was written to one of these early church communities. And chances are this church community was most likely composed of Greek-speaking Jewish Christians who were also second-generation Christians. This means that in all likelihood, the Hebrews church was not located in Palestine where Jesus lived and where he had taught. Which meant this church was probably located somewhere outside of Palestine. It's been suggested, and I think reasonably, that the Hebrews church was probably located in Rome, which is an interesting thought when you think about it. Now, regardless of where this church was located, there was also a good possibility that it endured significant persecution. Hebrews 10 talks about how the community stood in solidarity with those who had endured suffering, abuse, and persecution at the hands of the Roman Empire. And so for a Christian or a Jew, or for a Christian Jew, excuse me, living in a non-Christian world, or living in a non-Jewish world, you know, standing in solidarity would have been very difficult. And despite standing in solidarity with their own people, the early church still would have been hesitant and suspicious when it came to hospitality. And this was mainly because when a knock came at your door, you know, you didn't know if it was going to be a Roman guard there to arrest and take you off to be tortured, or if it was going to be one of your Christian missionaries there looking for your hospitality. Despite the difficulty of hospitality, though, the writer of Hebrews still calls on the church to practice hospitality and to mutually love one another. Hebrews challenges the church, in fact, to see faithful hospitality as not only opening your home to others, but also standing in solidarity with those who are imprisoned and suffering, many of whom would have probably been your brothers and sisters in Christ if you were the church in the first century. Now, today, standing in solidarity with prisoners is very similar to what our Faith in Action team is doing right now. Our Faith in Action team is partnering and working with an organization called Community Renewal Society, who is this organization in Cook County that works for economic and social justice. And right now, they're working on legislation that will end money bonds in Cook County. Now, roughly 90% of people detained in a Cook County jail are there pre-trial. What that means is that they are in jail, but they haven't actually been convicted of any crime. And nearly half of them can't afford bail. And while they can't afford bail, they are essentially serving time, even though they may be innocent. In addition, African Americans tend to receive higher bonds than white Americans do, and are more often unable to pay them, regardless of what amount it is. So to stand in solidarity with prisoners today is to fight these types of injustices. Now, Hebrews doesn't stop there. Hebrews also says that hospitality is all about advocating for honorable marriages and keeping our lives free from the love of money and material things. You see, honorable marriages are those that are kept pure from adultery. Being free from the love of money is being content with what you have and not what you don't have. You see, when you're distracted by your marriage or you're distracted by money, you cannot be hospitable because your focus is not on God. If you're focused only on yourself, you're unable to focus on others. You're not focused on others. And putting the focus on others is the essence of hospitality. Solidarity, advocacy, and keeping your life free from distraction at their core expresses trust in God and God alone. When we put our trust in God, we find ourselves growing closer and closer to God. And as we grow closer and closer to God, we also find ourselves growing closer and closer to one another. It's then we discover that when one suffers, we all suffer. When one is in need, we are all in need. When one celebrates, we all celebrate. That is hospitality. When I was an associate pastor in Spirit Lake, whenever a new baby was born or one of our members had passed away, we would always put a single rose out in a vase on its own pedestal on Sunday morning up front where everyone could see it. It was our way of extending and offering hospitality to those who were celebrating or those who were maybe suffering. And it was a small thing, but it was significant for that church. Now, the prodding that the author of Hebrews is giving to the early church and to us is that true hospitality is only possible when we realize that true security comes from God and God's kingdom. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The author's point is, it doesn't matter who's at your door. It could be a guard ready to take you away, or it could be our siblings in Christ. Regardless, Christ is standing in solidarity with and advocating for us always. And if Christ is for us, then who can be against us? You see, hospitality is at the core of our Christian life together because it expresses the complete trust that we have in God. Hospitality is all about the way we welcome fellow human beings without fear. I mean, everything that we are and everything that we do should be understood through a lens of hospitality. Do we reject others out of fear of rejection ourselves? Or do we welcome them? Do we welcome others with love? You see, to welcome others with love is to accept a person for who they are, where they are, how they are, whether they be a prisoner, the tortured, and remember, torture does not have to be physical. The oppressed, the poor, your spouse, your children, a friend, or a stranger on the street, or if you were in the first century Hebrew church, a Roman guard knocking at your door. From there, we let God do the rest. So don't be distracted by money, material things, or even sex. Put your trust in God. We live in an inhospitable world, folks, that is desperate for hospitality. Hospitality is what brings us closer to God so that we can be closer to others. You know the most beautiful and most profound thing about hospitality is that by trusting God enough to be hospitable, we start to find others to be trustworthy, and we grow close to them. And the closer to others, and that closeness to others brings us even closer to God. Now, if hospitality was easy, everyone would be doing it. Obviously, it's not easy. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Not too long ago, we had a family come by the church. They were looking for assistance with a number of things. Now, my philosophy when I have someone in my office looking for assistance is, I want to hear their story. I want to know where they've been, why they're here, and where they're going. And what I found is that most people are willing to share their stories. And their stories, they're always very heart-wrenching. And they remind you, I think, of the deep-seated problems that our country faces. Because almost every time, the person or family is in a cycle that they just can't get out of. And most of the time, it's not because they've made poor choices. It's systemic, folks. Like, for example, it can take up to 3 generations, maybe just a bit more, to escape poverty. Good health care is expensive in this country. Next time you get a bill from your doctor's office, look at what the actual amount that was due is instead of what you pay through your insurance company. Education in this country is expensive. If you have children in college, or if you're getting ready to send kids to college, you know all about this. Not only that, but if you're being persecuted, or there's no infrastructure for things like healthcare and education, you have little choice but to leave your country and find a better place. And if you're a person of color in this country, you're subject to systems and structures that were put in place by Western European colonists over 250 years ago. So folks, when people come looking for assistance, most of the time, it isn't because they're lazy, it's because they're desperate for hospitality in an inhospitable world. So back to this family. When this family came in, I was very, very curious to hear their story. And it turns out that they needed help with the car, a place to stay, and some food. The father, turns out, had also been in jail for a short time. He was wearing a colostomy bag, he even showed me. And there's a chance that he and his family were part of an ethnic group that had been heavily persecuted in their home country. So they may have, in fact, come to the States to escape that persecution. Regardless, what was clear was that they needed love. They were desperate for hospitality. I mean, you could hear it in the father's voice. You could see it in the mother's eyes. And my heart just went out to them. I wanted to help them solve all of their problems. I was even ready to give them money so they could purchase a better car. Well, we ended up working with them for several days. And I researched their ethnic group and looked for places they could go in Chicago to find others like them and maybe who could help them more than we could. We even reached out to some local agencies to see if they would be willing to help this family. And in the end, we helped them with a few nights at a hotel and a bunch of Jewel Osco cards. But we couldn't help them with their car issues or with their health-related issues. And I have to tell you, I walked away from this family feeling like I should have done more. I mean, I remember telling my wife and even saying to God at one point, that I wanted to do more, but I didn't know what else to do. It's a good reminder for me, and I think for all of us, how hard true hospitality is. Hospitality is hard, folks. And it's because we can't solve all the problems of a person's world at once, even though we want to. There does have to be an ongoing mutual relationship of love. What we can do, though, is trust in God and trust that God will work through us. We can also build trusting relationships with others. So my encouragement to you this morning is to go, trust God, and show hospitality to others. Because you never know, you might just be welcoming angels. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your words this morning. We thank you for your church this morning. God, we know that you are alone are worthy of honor and praise. We pray that you open our eyes to see the world as you see it. We pray that you give us the wisdom to witness your presence in all people. We ask that you transform us in love, grow us in our faith, and call us to love with a full heart and to share your promises with all your people. Because God, after all, if you are with us, then no one can stand against us. God, we thank you and we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.